Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast. It is MoneyWeb's weekly podcast where I speak to leading financial advisors. My name is Ryk van die Kerk and my guest today is Des Twyle of Masthead Financial Planning. And he's a young and upcoming financial advisor that has been in the business for around 4 years. He has worked at African Financial Group and he was also a wealth management planner at the Inkunzi Wealth Group. Des, welcome to the MoneyWeb studio. The Masthead Financial Planning business is actually quite an interesting one, and it allows you to build your own business within a larger organization. Tell us about how exactly it works.
Well, Ryk, thank you very much. And as you say, Masthead Financial Planning really is a very nice platform for independent financial planners to actually be involved in or operating under, as they would be the license holders within the Financial Services Board, and we would practice as financial planners as representatives of the larger brand or the financial services provider license holder. However, within the practice as a financial planner, you are given an opportunity to really build your own practice within the bigger umbrella. And that is really fantastic, because with that book that you have built, you can also be able to create value or build value within the business, and you can sell it off at a later stage should you wish to do so.
Masthead has been owned by Old Mutual. Are you affiliated with Old Mutual as an advisor? Do you need to use their products, for example?
Fortunately, the Masthead is really built on a platform that supports independent financial advice. So in that case, we are not, as much as we may be affiliated to a certain degree, but we are not really obliged to market and sell only Old Mutual products. So it is really open-ended to all the other financial services providers or product providers, rather, that we can have relationships with.
But the responsibility is with you to find clients. I know any financial advisor will tell you that is difficult to do. Who are you targeting, and what is the type of client you would like to attract?
Ideally, Ryk, I would like to attract a client who is, one, offering a professional service. In most cases, it's going to be in a service sector than it is, selling a product. And services can range all the way from engineers to professionals like lawyers, doctors, and whatsoever. But, in that professional space, whether they're running their own businesses and or operating or working for somebody else, and they are family orientated with young dependents, that's kind of my people that I'm looking to really attract. And by professional, I'm not necessarily meaning that they do have to have a postgraduate degree, but even as an undergrad, however, being in that space, those are my key people that I'm looking at, your middle income earners and people that has a growth projection within their careers.
But obviously you want to target younger people. I don't think it's often that you see clients changing financial advisors. It's a growth process. And I think the perception is that, you need to have an older financial advisor because they, in theory, at least have more experience and will be better than a young one. What advantages do you think a young advisor like yourself would be able to offer these potential clients?
Ryk, interestingly enough, like you said, the industry that we're in, it's more about a relationship more than anything. That's at least how I view it. That the longer time that I do have with you as your advisor, the more time we do have to basically adjust in terms of your plan on a year-to-year basis and or over time help you achieve your objectives. Whether we have a relationship now and see you through it until post-retirement, that is really the goal, because that may be reached over a 20-year, 30-year period. And that's unfortunately, interestingly enough, what we see in the industry, that a lot of younger people basically have changed a lot of advisors through the period or time, just as much as they also change jobs and or otherwise in terms of, career hopping and or working from company to company. However, really what I'm looking for and what I'm giving or offering to at least a large, group of my clients is longevity, for us to be able to have a very long-term relationship and see my clients through, everything that they need to get to their objectives.
What are the core services you offer?
my core services really, you know, I have broken it down to what I feel would be more acceptable as a language to people, because when you say risk planning, and they, you know, people start to think, what are you talking about when you're talking risk? But really, I would like to call it wealth protection. That's more on the insurance side, and that's whether it's death products or death covers, disability covers, income protection covers, and the lot. However, my specialty and what I like to concentrate on is really investment planning. And also, when it comes to investment planning, it's quite a large array of what is available out there that a person can be involved in. And I also do, you know, offer to SMMEs EB or employee benefits, including business assurance.
Do you think South Africans take it seriously enough, you know, the disability and death type of insurance product? You know, it is such a big risk in South Africa. You know, we've got dangerous roads. We live in a country where there is a lot of crime. Do you think, you know, the normal rank and file South African appreciate that you need to have these products to ensure that you can leave a legacy to your family should something happen?
Unfortunately not, Rake. And honestly speaking, this is also part of my key message to everyone out there, to saying that it's a lifestyle management program or plan that one should have. A lifestyle that you're living and you would want to at least retain the same lifestyle should anything happen to what it is that you're so dependent on, which is in most cases the one, you know, stream of income that everybody really have. And if you can actually mitigate, you know, risk factors to saying that should any of these happen, or life stages or life events happen, you at least have something that will retain some form of lifestyle management that you were on. And also looking at post-retirement, because you're no longer receiving that income, do you or have you saved enough that would give you a similar lifestyle, including, like you said, legacy planning? How do you have then generational wealth so that you maintain a certain lifestyle that is, you know, really manageable from generation to generation?
I think many people don't appreciate that your biggest asset is not your house or money in the bank, but it's your ability to actually earn income. And you need to protect that.
That is correct. In fact, that is the biggest one.
We in South Africa, we have social problems, but we also see an emerging black middle class, which is growing very quickly. It's actually the biggest single class growing in South Africa. And that must be a very significant opportunity for many financial advisors. How do you penetrate that market?
It is quite a difficult market to penetrate. Like I was saying, I think it is an issue of, you know, a trust factor that was never really addressed from the get-go, because when we're talking financial services products, there has been, unfortunately, also a lot of infiltration of people that are tainting the market very badly or painting a bad picture about, you know, financial services in its entirety. And including the fact that people are not so happy with the lot of changes that happens within the banking sector, that sometimes they only catch on after a while. And so the trust element, it's kind of a, you know, a difficult situation to get over. However, once we have broken that to saying that this is where we can help and have confidence in what it is that we're providing, and most importantly for myself as well, to show more about, or to at least increase the trust element, is not to talk about product names, not product names, but product brands in particular, but more about products and solutions that are fit to actually help a client.
But how do you overcome somebody that is skeptical about the system? I would imagine, you know, I think many people only look at the fees and say, no ways, I'm not paying that for financial advice. It must be a difficult thing to actually convince somebody to go and take a retirement annuity and pay the fees some institutions charge.
That is very correct. Unfortunate part about looking at fees is that, or at least within the service industry, is because you don't have a tangible product that you're saying, I've paid money for this and this is what I'm taking with. However, if you get to, or if we can successfully convince the client and that they understand the product that they're buying or a solution that they're buying, and they can see the value add that you're providing within their lives, then they're more acceptable or easier to accept the kind of fees that we are charging. And also not forgetting that there is a lot of regulatory changes that has happened over, you know, the past decade or so that actually also brings a lot of alleviation to the pain that the client goes through when they're talking about fees, and they get to understand a bit more of what it is exactly that they're paying for.
Do you think there's too much regulations within the financial advice sector?
As much as I believe that there is too much, I think it is also a bit fair, considering the fact that, you know, people have been hurt by very scrupulous practitioners that are not even within the regulatory framework, that are, you know, over-promising and or basically really selling a pipe dream, something that it will never be realizable. At the end of the day, people basically lose their hard-earned money, their everything towards these very unscrupulous people. So within the regulatory framework, I think it is quite necessary to a certain degree.
That obviously adds to the trust deficit you referred to earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to build your own business within this regulatory environment. Do you see it as a hindrance, or do you, with the relationship with Masted, are you able to actually manage it within the business within reasonable expenses? Because it is expensive to comply.
That is correct. And fortunately enough, I think the platform that, you know, we are on, working closely with Masted as a compliance officer, it really is helping us to basically play along with what the regulations require. So we are up to date with, you know, the regulatory changes and the requirements, and we are really pushed to basically comply as much as possible to those. And it will really also help us, fortunately, that, you know, certain changes, as they are implemented, we are ready for them, and we can basically really still build our businesses over the kind of challenges that one would imagine to have within the regulatory framework that keeps changing.
The financial advice industry is actually quite a small industry. I believe there are fewer than 5,000 financial advisors, qualified financial advisors in South Africa, but there are very few black advisors, especially relative to the number of white advisors there are. Why do we not see black advisors coming through?
I think in my own perspective would be, you know, the building of a book, a client book. You know, in the initial, it is very slow to build, because simply because of the challenges that we've already spoken about, the trust deficit that is there and the lack of understanding what role a planner has in one's lives. And for those that basically have an understanding towards it, they're less likely to basically give an opportunity to somebody else who is, you know, relatively inexperienced, according to them, that has less than 15 years, 20 years in the industry. However, you know, with what has happened in terms of the growth of advisors, they have really learned a lot about, you know, the products that are available, and we can really offer just as much of the same level of service as the most experienced ones.
Des, what is your investment philosophy?
My investment philosophy really evolves around a client. So it's client-centric investing and also, you know, long-term value creation for clients. So whether it's picking up, you know, value, you know, products or investment opportunities as a combination, but it's really client-centric.
But obviously you need to have views on asset classes, because you need in a diversified portfolio, you know, exposure to asset classes, but there are many advisors who differ on exactly that allocation. How would you, for a young person, let's use an example, you know, and there is a retirement annuity, divide that up in amongst asset classes?
You know, interestingly enough, we don't have as many asset classes out there. We can count about 5. But at the same time, we have many different vehicles that are offering these same asset classes. But how you allocate the assets in terms of weighting, it really depends on the client's overall objective and the time frame that they require. So it is not going to be the same type of allocation for every single client. Yes, one can pool a certain clients that has a certain inclination towards the, you know, a similar objective over a similar period of time. But really, there is no one definite asset class and or, you know, a direction that I would say it is my preference. So it is more about really the client's objective, and there is a combination of asset class allocation that one can do to really achieve the client's, you know, objectives.
Do you think it's the advisor's role to make the asset class decision, or should you leave it to the actual fund managers you invest your client's money in?
Well, let's look at it this way. How many fund managers are out there? There's quite a lot of asset managers that are out there, or fund managers that are out there. But for you to actually even select the right fund managers for your clients, you need to understand how their processes are like. So I think it is equally important for advisors to be able to have a system where they can filter down, you know, to a pool of fund managers that you would really like to use, but understanding what their investment philosophy is and their processes are, so that when eventually you start deciding how much or how are you allocating towards each of the fund managers, then you would anticipate the kind of results that you're looking for. So at the end of the day, it's a dual role. The fund managers has their role in terms of choosing the asset and asset allocation, but we as advisors as well have a role in terms of choosing the right fund managers. And that is the reason why some of us even charge fees like management fees or annual management fees, because there is a lot of work that we still have to do in the background.
Well, Des, thank you for coming into the MoneyWeb studio, and good luck with your business, and may it grow faster than you can handle.
Thank you very much, Rick, and thanks for the invitation.
That was Des Twalle of Masthead Financial Planning.